Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 27. This is the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. God came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. In the baptism, we are united to Christ. In baptism, we are united to the body of Christ. How should we understand this union? How should we understand our union with Christ? We may understand it as like unto a union of marriage. In marriage, a man is united to his wife, and the wife is united to her husband. The two become one flesh. In marriage, a man gives himself to his wife. He gives not only himself, but all that he has. All that he is, and all that he has, becomes hers. And likewise, the woman gives herself to her husband. She gives not only herself, but all that she has. All that she is, and all that she has, becomes his. Her body belongs to him. His body belongs to her. And so it is in our union in Christ. We become one flesh with him. Bone of his bone. And flesh of his flesh. He gives himself to us. He gives not only himself, all that he has. All that he is and all that he has becomes ours. And likewise, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to him. All that we are and all that we have becomes his. We are his
and he is ours. In baptism, the Lord says of us, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. In baptism, we are united to the whole Christ. The whole of us belongs to Christ. For this reason, we leave father and mother to hold fast to him. We leave the world and all that is in it to be with him. We make it our aim in everything to please him, for the pleasure of Christ is the fullness of joy. It is oil upon the head. It is a cup that overflows. There is nothing with which to compare it. It is worth the loss of all things. It is worth more than everything. I reach its depths, know its heights. Eternity cannot exhaust it. Pleasure of Christ, it is joy everlasting. In baptism, Christ gives to us himself, and all that belongs to him. As a marriage, if we would enjoy him, we cannot withhold from him anything. His heart, who we are, or anything that belongs to us, shares the whole of himself with us. He has all things in common with us. So we to share the whole of ourselves with him. We are to have all things in common with him. If you would have learned that, we're ready to affirm what we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They had all things in common. The church is the body of Christ, and you have all things in common with him. And you have all things in common with his body. You have all things in common with the church. Now at this point, it's worth pausing to be honest with ourselves. Be honest about what you're thinking. Surely Christ does not call us to have all things in common with one another. that's exactly what he calls us to.
The question is not whether it is true. How it is true. How it is to be true among us. How it is to become true among us. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we see the life of those baptized in the name of Christ. We see the life of the early church. A life that was centered upon the apostles' teaching and fellowship. The fellowship of the church begins with worship and it ends with worship. The church's fellowship flows out of worship, and that fellowship draws her into worship again to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. While the church's fellowship begins and ends with worship, it is not true that the church's fellowship only consists in worship. Worship may be the primary expression of the church's fellowship, but it is not the whole of her fellowship. The fellowship of the church expresses itself in other ways as well. As we considered last Lord's Day, one of those ways that fellowship expresses itself in the life of the church is in the church's hospitality. In verse 46 of Acts chapter 2, we see God's people breaking bread together in their homes. Feeding their food with glad and generous hearts. As breaking bread together in the homes of God's people, it flows from the breaking of the bread and the church's worship. The hospitality which God shows to his people in his house and at his table is reflected in the hospitality which his people show to others in their houses, at their tables. What was the result? So the people broke bread in their homes day by day. The Lord added to their number day by day those who remained saved. Hospitality was not only a means of the church's fellowship, it was also a means of the church's witness. As people were drawn into the fellowship of the home, they were further drawn into the fellowship of the church. Fellowship of the church flows out of worship. The fellowship of the church draws us into worship. The hospitality which the Lord shows to us. He invites us into his house as he seats us at his table, spills over into our homes, as we can invite others into our houses, as we seat them at our tables, and as they learn the hospitality in the homes of God's people, drawn into the house of the Lord. They learn not only the hospitality of the church,
the hospitality of Christ. As he gives himself to us with a glad and generous heart. We are fed by him. Receive him. The point of what we are saying is this. The hospitality of Christ becomes the hospitality of his people. For all that he is and all that he has becomes ours. His hospitality becomes ours. His gladness becomes ours. His generosity becomes ours. Stingy heart is a heart that has not yet learned the generosity of Christ. Generosity of Christ is to be magnified in the generosity of his people. The generosity of Christ is to be known in the generosity of his people. When we are stingy, we take his name in vain. I do not mean when we are frugal, which is itself a kind of generosity. When we are stingy, to be frugal is to deny yourself for the sake of others. Be stingy is to deny others for your own sake. Consider the heart of Christ. The heart of Christ is not stingy. And we who bear his name are stingy. We take his name. The church is to be glad and generous of heart. Because Christ is glad and generous of heart. His gladness and generosity of heart expresses itself in the hospitality of the church. And it expresses itself in the giving of the church.
Because giving also draws us
into the life of the Trinity.
The Father gives all of himself to the Son.
The Son gives the whole of himself to the Spirit. And the Spirit gives the whole of himself to the Father. The whole of the Father indwells the Son. And the whole of the Son indwells the Spirit. And the whole of the Spirit indwells the Father.
Holding back within God.
There is no stinginess in God. life of the Trinity. It's the life of a God who is glad and generous of heart. As we learn the generosity of Christ, we are drawn to the life of the Trinity. Generosity expresses itself in the giving of the church. As Christ gave, so the church is to give. The generosity of Christ must become the generosity of the church. Have all things in common with him. We must have all things in common with one another. To hold back from one another, to hold back from him. Does your life belong to yourself? How much less than your possessions? To have all things in common with Christ. To have all things in common with the church. What does it mean? What does it mean to have all things in common? We'll see in Acts chapter 5. Member of the church is not under obligation to sell all that he has. And if he does sell all that he has, he is not under obligation to give any of it to the church. What you have has been given to you by Christ. Alone are its steward. To have all things in common is not to live at the mercy of the church. To have all things in common is to show mercy in the church. Why were the people of God selling their possessions and belongings? They were selling their possessions and their belongings, that they might give to those who had need. To show mercy to those who were in need. The mercy that you show to the least of his brothers, you show to him. One who is generous to the poor, you lens to the Lord.
The Lord is one with his people. Christ is one with his church. To have all things in common with those in need, but to have all things in common with him. Church. She is called to hear the cry of the needy. She may not ignore that cry. She is called to care for those in distress.
She is called to provide for those who are in need.
In your union with Christ, this is all that belongs to Christ. And that includes his generosity.
You cannot learn his generosity with a little.
You will not learn much. The one who has but will not give. Not be poor. There is poverty in his heart. Christ gives to you all that he is. Christ gives to you all that he has. You have all things in common with him. So you are called to have all things in common with one another. You are called to provide for one another's needs. May the Lord bless you with glad and generous hearts. You supply one another's needs. Amen.